Thank you for tuning in to an Abundant Life Worship Center podcast. You're listening to a message from our series on joy. Take what you learn from this message, practice it, and walk in joy. I want to read that verse that I've been reading, the verse I felt God was speaking for our church. I'll read it again. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11 to 13. It says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forward in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever." So God here was speaking to his people who at that time had been in captivity, and this was actually prophetic to what was coming. The people were still in captivity when the prophecy was given, but they were going to be set free back in their homeland, and there was going to be great joy. So much joy that creation, the hills breaking forth into song, trees clapping their hands, that's a lot of joy, okay? And I believe God is saying the same thing over us. We went into a little more detail in that first message, but I just want to leave it with that today. God is going to do great things this year. He's going to bring amazing joy to us and to his creation. The things he does will bring him honor and will be an everlasting sign of his power and his love. And of course, we know that the thing that makes creation rejoice more than anything else is when people who are lost or not saved become saved when they accept Christ. We know that all of heaven rejoices when that happens. It is something worth rejoicing about. And if you and I remember to when we accepted Christ, it was an amazing thing. Even if we were very young, it was a life-transforming thing, a time of great hope where you realized, oh, there is a purpose to this. So joy comes through that. Christians who believe that what the Bible says should be the most joyful people on earth. We looked at that a little bit. Christians who believe God's word should be the most joyful people on earth. Because when we truly believe what it says, we realize he paid our price. The weight of sin is gone. Guilt has to leave. We realize he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's a good father. He's got us in his hand. And there's an eternity in an amazing place with him. So that should give us joy no matter what the circumstance. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4. I'm going to look at it in just a second. I made this statement, and I want to help you to understand as we go into looking at how do we live in joy. And I said this, God doesn't want us to just have moments of joy while we live a life of despair or anger or sadness, but he wants us to live in joy that may have moments that cause us to weep or mourn. And I'm going to liken it to a big trough of water. If anybody's ever been on a farm or seen where you water animals, or maybe just you could think of your pet's water dish, but a big trough of water is what comes to my mind. And there is clean, fresh water. The tank is clean. You pour in the water. That's living in joy. And there may be things that come into that water that may cause you to weep. But the main focus of it is the joy. And those things that come in, the water is still healthy. Okay? If you've been on a farm, some mud gets some dirt, maybe some horse hair, but the water's still all right. But if you start with the trough full of mud and junk and moldy hay, and you just try to pour some water in it, a little bit here and a little bit there, it's not healthy water. So for our lives as well, God wants us to have the main focus, the foundation, if you will, in joy. And then, yes, we know the world we live in, we're going to lose loved ones. There's going to be things that happen because we live in a broken world, and they may cause you to weep, but the weeping will only be for a time. And Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4 says, "There's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance." You know, I'm doing a message on joy, but if you're in a time of mourning because you've lost someone, that's okay. Let me encourage you, God wants to bring you through the time of mourning. He doesn't want you to stay there. All right? But please don't be discouraged if you're feeling a heavy heart from losing somebody or something's happened. Just be encouraged. God will bring you through. Psalm 30, verse 4 and 5 says this, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endures but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Everybody say joy. God wants us to live in joy. In the Passion Translation, Psalm 30, verse 4 to 5 goes like this. It says, "Sing and make melody, you steadfast lovers of God. Give thanks to him every time you reflect on his holiness. I've learned that his anger lasts for a moment, but his love, his loving favor lasts a lifetime. We may weep through the night, but at daybreak it will turn into shouts of ecstatic joy." That's a real joy, a joy that is deep within that has to express itself somehow. And where there's true joy, it will express itself. God wants us to daily live in joy, and I gave you a couple verses last week that I'll just give you again today, and then we'll move on from there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16 to 18 says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Did you catch that? The will of God for you who are Christians is to always be joyful, never stop praying, and be thankful in all circumstances. That's his will for you. To always be joyful. Okay, so how do we daily live in joy? The Bible actually has a lot to say about it, and I want to have a good look at it. All right? We can daily live in joy. There's just a few points I want to make today. I want to make it simple, but I want you to get this. We can daily live in joy by being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which we just read, says, "Be thankful in all circumstances." Did you know you can be thankful in any and every circumstance? Because there is always something we can be thankful for if we choose to. Okay? So being thankful is a key to being joyful. Colossians 3, verse 15 says this, "Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're all called to live in peace and always be thankful." Wow. I'm going to give you a key about being thankful, and it's this. If you're not normally thankful, you can actually practice being thankful. And I'm going to give you a little tip here. Make a list of things you're thankful for and read it out loud to yourself daily if that's what you need to do. This is interesting. God's word tells us, and we have another verse, we tells us we can practice what he's given us. And I'm seeing that sometimes people get in a habit of being unthankful, where our words and our thoughts tend to being unthankful. And God says, be thankful instead. So change the habit on purpose. Go home, write down, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for this. Make the list and then read it out loud. And when you start to be unthankful, grab your list and read it again. It'll change how you feel. And I can tell you this, you will feel joyful. This works for whatever age you are, little kids to grown-ups. Being thankful is something you do on purpose. We can daily live in joy by being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So being thankful and renewing our mind is another way for us to experience joy. Romans 12, verse 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, Paul is telling us a good way to help renew our minds. And listen to what he says. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Here is Paul talking to the church at Philippi, and he's saying, you need to think about the things that are good. And then he says, you also need to put into practice what I've told you. This is the key for living in joy. Just hearing God's word but never putting into practice isn't going to help you. Okay, practice is an interesting thing. Who here has ever practiced an instrument? You practiced an instrument? Yeah, many of you. When you first started practicing, it was probably difficult and it didn't come easy, did it? But the longer you practice, the easier it becomes, to the point where it's fun, enjoyable, and you have something amazing. But you had to practice. In the same way, if you have not been in the habit of being thankful, you'll need to practice. And when you first do it, it might feel awkward. I remember our kids, you know, the first time they want to play a guitar chord and it doesn't work. You know, and they're like, this is stupid. This guitar isn't working. Well, no, the guitar's working, but you need to practice putting your fingers in the right spot and pushing hard. And at first, it's not even that fun, is it? But when you continue, what happens? Suddenly, you're making music. If you've had trouble keeping your mind on things that are good and right and pure, practice it. When you find yourself going off down that trail of, oh, life is terrible, practice turning it around. Practice. If you practice something long enough, it becomes easy and natural. I want to say this for a minute. We are always thinking, speaking, and doing. We are always sowing and reaping, whether we like it or not. Okay? So let me say that again. We are always thinking, speaking, and doing. We are always sowing and reaping. Choose to think, speak, and do things that bring joy. Choose joy. We get to choose what we think about. We get to choose what we speak. And we definitely get to choose what we do. I want to help you see something here today. And we're going to get into another part of joy, which is where we need to pray and ask. And I want to help you understand something about God's word. God's word is filled with wisdom and direction and instruction. In Timothy, I believe it is, we read it where Paul is saying, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness. That's giving us wisdom and instruction. But I also realize that for some, it's not wisdom they need healing. I realize for some, more wisdom isn't going to help them. They need to be set free, possibly from oppression or depression. So God's word always covers both. If you look at Jesus' life, he spent time teaching, giving them wisdom, but there are other times where he just needed to set someone free. So both sides are important. And as I preach, there's many times I'm feeling I need to give you wisdom, but I understand if you're sitting there listening to this, and you are so heavy, you are so deep, possibly in pain or hurt, then you need to be healed. You don't need to try to practice something at this point. You need a healing. Or you need God to set you free. So I understand that. And I want to encourage you. God loves you and he knows where you're at. And for some today, maybe you're like, you know what? That's really good. I just needed someone to help encourage me. I don't need to watch that depressing series nonstop. Or I don't need to put the news on over and over because it gets me really worked up. I'll change what I'm thinking, speaking, and doing, and that's good. But maybe you need a supernatural intervention. Let me give you an example of what this may be like. Possibly a situation in the natural. We have doctors, and if you go to the doctor, I'm going to use a random thing. I'm going to try to pick something nobody here has. Let's say your back is hurting, your knees are hurting, your ankles are hurting, everything is hurting. You go to the doctor. Well, the first thing he's going to do is give you an inspection, but he's going to go through and say, okay, yeah, this and this. And here's the thing. He's going to give you some wisdom. And if all those are hurting and he notices that you're extremely overweight, what's he going to do first? He's not going to send you for surgery. He's going to say, are you exercising? Are you eating well? Because all this pain could be your body's carrying too much. So he's going to give that wisdom. Now, if while they're checking you out, they realize, well, there's actually something internal that's seriously wrong. We need to give you more. We need to get you in the hospital. I mean, you need a surgery. Okay? In the same way, God's word for our inner man, for us, he does the same thing. He gives us wisdom that we can choose to use or not. And he sometimes says, you know what? There's an internal issue of the heart. I want to set you free. I want to heal you. And then we need supernatural intervention that is beyond what we could do with wisdom. Okay? So I want you to hear that and understand. And I pray that when we're giving messages, we're giving you both. We want you to always go from church having hope for the afternoon, having hope for the week ahead, because that's the kind of God we serve. So prayer is key. If you know somebody who has a broken heart, or maybe you have a broken heart, you know it takes a supernatural miracle. Proverbs 17:22, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. In the Passion Translation, it says, a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. So there's an answer for that, and it's found in Luke 4:18. And of course, it's Jesus talking, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. This is good news. If you're struggling with deep, deep depression, or you're struggling with brokenness from the past, Jesus says he was anointed to bring healing to you. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that same Holy Spirit dwells with us. And through prayer, you can be healed. God can totally take the pain. He can bind back together the broken heart, because that's the kind of God he is. And if you need that type of intervention, church is the right place to come. John 16 and verse 24, Jesus talking to his followers says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. His heart is for you to be full of joy. Did you catch that? Christ did not want us to follow him and be miserable and go around telling people about him with long faces and grouchiness. He didn't. He wanted us to be overfilled with joy. So if we're not, then we need to be honest with ourselves and say, God, why am I not? Do I need a healing? Do I need a miracle? Or do I need to change a habit? In Scripture, we read very clearly that God's Holy Spirit coming and being and filling us can bring joy. And obviously, we know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy, but also the Holy Spirit filling and overflowing you can bring joy. I shared a story about that last week. I'm not going to share that again. But let me give you one from the Scripture. And it's the story of John the Baptist when he was filled with the Holy Spirit and it brought joy. And that is in Luke chapter 1 and verse 14 to 16. I'm going to read that first. That is the angel telling John's dad what's going to happen when John comes. And he says, "You'll have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God." John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit while he was still in his mother's womb. And of course, a little later in the chapter, we read where this happened. Luke 1, verse 41. At the sound of Mary's greeting, so Mary has traveled to meet Elizabeth. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. And it says, at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is cool. This is interesting. I want you to understand something. The filling of the Holy Spirit doesn't just allow you to speak with other tongues. That's one of the signs, but there's many and much more that the Holy Spirit does when he fills. And one of those amazing things is he fills you with joy. Okay? So Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 42. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy." Oh my. Some of us need to jump for joy again. Some of us need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're weary and heavy, and you just need to ask, "Holy Spirit, refresh in me again what you did before. Because I want that joy once again." When I think of this, I remembered a story a number of years ago, and one of our daughters experienced some joy in the Holy Spirit. And this was at a tent meeting. Has anybody ever been to a tent meeting? If you haven't been, tent meetings are, well, obviously outdoors in a great large tent and usually on the grass and a platform. And anyhow, the tent meeting was going and the music was amazing, you know, joyful, loud. And Beatrice's mom, I'll call her Cookum. Cookum was there, and Cookum likes to dance sometimes when the music is good, and sometimes she feels the Holy Spirit and she'll begin to laugh. And she was carrying one of our daughters. She was carrying her, and our daughter was 6 months old at the time, and she was carrying her, and all of a sudden Cookum starts dancing and she starts laughing. Well, if you know Cookum, when that happens, it's not long, and pretty soon she's going to fall. She's going to crash somewhere. So we're like, "Somebody grab the baby." So somebody grabbed the baby. Just as they grab the baby, Cookum goes, and I remember thinking, good thing we grabbed the baby. But Cookum would get filled with that joy, and it would just be so amazing for her. Well, we went home that night, and it was quite late. I had work in the morning, and we were trying to get our daughter to sleep. Well, our daughter won't sleep. And I'm thinking, okay, she needs to sleep. Give her the, no, she's not going to sleep. So I told my wife, okay, we have this rule, no kids are in the bed with us ever, but you know what? I got to sleep. Just put her between us in the bed, sit her up because she's not going to lay down, and we'll go to sleep. So we sat her there. I turned over. She starts laughing. And she's really laughing, and I look over, and I'm like, why is she laughing? I need to sleep. I wasn't so joyful. She was, right? I roll over again. She starts laughing again. And I look over and I tell my wife, quit tickling her. My wife, I'm not tickling her, honest. Okay. And honestly, this little baby, I'd never really heard her laugh much before this. So this is the first time I'm really hearing her laugh. So I roll over again. She starts laughing again. I turn around really quick. And my wife has her hands in the air. It's not me. Now, I'm a little slow, but all of a sudden it kicked in. I'm like, oh, this is because she was in Cookham's arms. And when the Holy Spirit came on Cookham, it also came on her. And I realized she's laughing because of that. So I said, okay, baby, you can laugh all you want. I turned over and she laughed probably for half an hour more. And I realized God fills with joy even the little ones. So I want to encourage you, if you have a really grouchy, angry kid, pray for them. And pray for Holy Spirit to come and to change their heart too. Because even though they're kids, they can go through things that make them feel frustrated and angry. Okay? So just encourage you on that. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to do things for them. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. And I'm going to ask our worship team who's here to come back up. And they're going to just play a song. And today I want to open the altar area. And if you'd like prayer or you just want to come and ask Holy Spirit to refresh you, or maybe you're one who's felt, oh, my heart is heavy, it's been broken, we're going to give you opportunity to come and receive prayer, okay? We're only going to do that for just a little bit, and then we're going to do a group prayer after that. So I want you to stand with me, and those who want to come to the front and ask Holy Spirit for refreshing, for joy, for healing, we're going to do that together right now. Yeah, go ahead, stand with us. Thank you so much for joining in with us today. Hey, if you'd like to know more about Abundant Life Worship Center and what we do here, you can check us out on our website at www.alwc.church. God bless.